At the time of Jesus, nighttime was a time for fishing. If anyone else had said to Peter, "Oh, launch out into the deep there, and let down the net for catch during the daytime," he would have said, "Are you crazy? Are you mad? Are you insane? Do you want me to make a fool of myself in front of all the other professional fishermen? If we didn't catch anything during the night, what chance have we have of catching anything in broad daylight?" He would say that. I mean, think about it. All these fishermen came to the lake or, Sea of Galilee, and they caught everything they needed during the nighttime. Obviously, during the daytime, there will be less chance to catch the fish. But when Jesus said those words, Peter, "Oh, launch out into the deep and let down the net for catch during the daytime," Peter's spontaneous response was this: "Lord, we fished all night long and caught nothing." In other words, "Hey, probably you do not know much about the fishing, but I'm telling you what, I'm a professional fisherman, we got nothing." But here's an interesting answer: "But if you say so, I will let down the net. But if you say so, I will do it." What motivated him lowering the net? For Simon, eventually later on Peter, the word of Jesus was different from the word of anyone else. Many times I wonder, Scripture was very clear, the gospel was very clear. He had authority. I wonder, when Jesus spoke, he spoke to each person's heart. It carried an authority which no other word carried. Therefore, if Jesus called for it, then no matter how hopeless the situation might seem, or how tired he was, or how foolish he might appear, he would try again. Peter would try again. What's behind all this? Simon, later on Peter had absolute trust in Jesus. At Jesus' words, Peter was prepared to attempt the impossible. "I know it's not going to work, but there's something about this man. There's something about what he said. I'm going to trust this." We see this again later in the gospel when he attempt to walk on water at the word of Jesus. I'm sure that we all remember that particular scene. "Can I go? Come." He stepped on the water. He walked on the water for a while. How many people are there whose word we would take seriously? Whose word we would trust absolutely? Whose word we would completely rely on? Think about our whole life. The answer is, I bet, very few, right? Very few. Sure, fishing is a worthy calling. However, Jesus saw that Peter was capable of other things. He was kind of a person he wanted to have helping people. Peter with his walk. So what qualities did Jesus see in Peter that made him call him to share his walk? Obviously, we know the answer, right? Peter had the first and most essential one, which is faith in Jesus. He trusted Jesus. He had faith in Jesus. He also had humility. He didn't need to do it. I am a professional fisherman. This 30 years old young man came to me. Throw the net the deep water. I mean, come on, I spent the entire night. All these fish, boats, they caught everything they needed. Are you serious, really? Do you want me to make me foolish? You know what? I'm going to do it anyway. Because of his humility. So faith and humility. So the gospel story is not so much a story about fishing, although some of you might like fishing, but it's all about trust, faith, and humility. Trust, faith, humility. Or we could change trust, humility, and faith. Jesus was saying to Peter, how far are you prepared to trust me? It was a turning point in the life of Peter. What started out in responding to Jesus' words ended in a new beginning. Starting out in a new direction. Let me share a similar experience as Peter experienced one. Perhaps my personal story might be able to be more convincing. Today, the diocese celebrates what we call the Called by Name Sunday. And as you know, the presentation of the Lord was on February 2nd. That was a world day of consecration, consecrate life. And then this weekend, all those priests, they are sharing their life story to the parishioners to promote the life to vocation calling toward the priesthood. So, let me share my story. I came to United States year 2000 as an exchange program student at University of Texas at Austin. University, which is, better than the other university called Texas something university, but that's a personal opinion, I guess. But nonetheless, I never intend to become a priest. I never came to United States to become a priest. My major was management information system. In other words, I was a geek. Still, I'm a geek. And University of Texas at Austin offered a course, a particular course to undergraduate students equivalent to graduate school level. So my professor, my previous university professor, asked me to come to this university. So as a very ambitious student pursuing the ladder of worldly success, it was a great opportunity for my future resume. Joined the University of Texas at Austin with the management information system, particularly this particular coursework, which will definitely boost my resume so well. So, long story short, in the midst of my life at the university, my intention has nothing to do with the priesthood. I never thought to become a priest. Although, when I was young, many people thought that I would become a great priest. Although I said no. I want to get married, I want to have a husband, I want to be a husband, I want to have 7 children. Yes, I said 7 children, that was my dream. First 3 must be girls, that was my thought. So in the midst of my life in the university there, I participated in a daily mass at UCC, University Catholic Center. The main reason was because if you happen to go to UT Austin, my school was Macomb Business School. Business School, PCL, and the UCC are very close to each other. So therefore, as a good Catholic person, And as soon as I finished the school, there was a mass available. So that's why I went to mass. Then one day, I never forget that. Long story, one story led to another. There are so many stories happened there. But nonetheless, at UCC, I happened to get the book from, I think one of the students gave it to me. That story, the book was about apparition of Our Lady of Medjugorje. And so I happened to love the Blessed Mother. I pray the rosary at the time daily. Although nowadays it seems that I'm more leaning toward the Divine Mercy, although I pray the rosary from time to time, more like a daily chaplet. The Divine Mercy chaplet is my devotion. One day when I read this book, the apparition of Our Lady of Medjugorje, the Blessed Mother, there's one scene, Blessed Mother told one of the children who received a vision saying, "Why don't you help my son?" Oh, I remember that night. I read the book. It is as if Blessed Mother stood right in front of me and saying, "John, why don't you help my son?" I remembered kneeling, weeping, and saying, "Sure, Mom. Okay, Mom. I will do it." So I thought first to go back to South Korea to be a priest. But then there were so many vocations in South Korea. Right now, Archdiocese of Seoul, there are 960 priests serving in one diocese. And each year, we have at least 30 priests ordained in one diocese in South Korea. So South Korea, we have so many vocations. Having that thought, the UCC priest, at the time, the police priest came to me and said, "John, I mean, I was thinking about being a priest. You know, I'm thinking to go back to South Korea. And you have so many priests over there. But we do not have much priest here. Why don't you become a missionary for us?" That's what he said. And I ended up with joining the seminary. When I decided to join the seminary, I called my mom. My mom said, "What?" She said, "You are not worthy. Know who you are." And my dad was furious. Long story short, I'm a first male child, I suppose, carry my bloodline. My dad several times mentioned it to me, "If you were my second son, I would dance that you became a priest. But remember, you are our first child, first male child. You have a responsibility to carry the bloodline. How dare you want to become a priest?" So I had to go back to South Korea to change my visa status to student visa. At the time, I remember, I carried my passport in my pocket. Because if my parents found out that there's a passport, they took away, I couldn't come back. So I carried my passport all the time. I slept with my passport. And then time came. I decided the time to come back here to join the seminary. And my dad said, "If you go to that door, if you go through that door, you are no longer my son. You probably did not know much about the Asian culture. If the parents denounce a child, I am dead. It's taboo for my family to talk about me. You are no longer my son. Do you still want to go through that door?" I still remember what I said to my dad, my father. Dad, father, I love you so much. But there is another dad calling me. I have to answer my dad. You go away." And he just left. I still remember that night. My mom was crying right next to me. Longest flight ever. I came to airport without my parents' support.
for the first time in my whole life. Longest flight ever. And I told my dad, my Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I could do this only once. But if you ask me one more time, I wouldn't be able to do it. What happened to my parents? My parents and I were reconciled after 5 years. What happened? That's another story. That story is such a beautiful story, I cannot finish in. I already spent almost 15 minutes now, so I had to wrap it up, otherwise Mass is going to go long. But why am I sharing this story to you? Because I want to recognize from you, that's not what I'm saying. When I decided to become a priest, I had no one here. My English, still struggle with the English, don't get me wrong. I had a heavy accent. I no speak English. That was more like my English sentence. I had nobody here, no friends, no relatives, no one whatsoever. Only thing that I had was I trust in God. Because I loved my dad, Heavenly Father, and my dad was calling me. Sooner or later, I knew that I had to answer that call. Therefore, I decided to continue. And now, your suffering continues with its Korean accent priest now. Today, again, diocese designated this week as a Called by Name Sunday, asking each one of us to be aware of vocation to priesthood and religious life. It's not an easy life, I must tell you. I'm not going to sugarcoat you. It's not for everybody, for sure. Especially more and more, it's going to be challenging. But I'm sure that some of you already knew, oh, I think this person could be a perfect priest. Oh, I think this person should become a priest. This young man and this woman, I think they are called by God. If you happen to know that person's name, there's a form right next to each other. You don't need to do it now. There's a form each pew. All we are asking is just write down that person's name and contact information. Either you can go to our website. I mean, the website has, website is very easy. GodIsCalling.me. God is calling, one word, .me. And all you have to do is put their name and information, let the diocese take care of that. If you happen to know that person and you don't have that the website stuff, we have a form available. All we ask is invite them. Let diocese recognize those people, and the Bishop Vasquez will personally send the invitation to them. You become a channel for God's calling, in a sense. Okay, I speak too much, so I'm going to wrap it up everything. Peter trusted. And I understand what the Peter did. Because now you see, I trust the Lord. That's why I had a great privilege. I've been great privileged to get to know you. If I did not say yes to God, then I would not be here. I would never be able to get to know you. Give the chance to young men and women. Let us know their names so that we can nurture them. We can nurture their vocation so that there will be another Peter. There will be another Father John. There will be another Sister Maria. Give them a chance. Jesus says in today's gospel, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men, catching people. Catching my people. Let us be the boys of Jesus, especially today.